For those of you who are here, maybe for the first time in a while or first time ever, whatever, and for others who may not know, this has been a season where I'm preaching through the 10 words, the Decalogue, or what we know as the 10 commandments. I've made a little bit of adjustment. So we've skipped honor your father and mother. I'm going to save that for Father's Day. And so we've gone from the fourth to the sixth. And this morning on the screen, the commandments will be before you. And I will read them with you responsively. So I'll begin with the first, and if you'll pick up the second. And then the New Testament reading today, Jesus quotes the sixth commandment and then adds to it, amplifies it, enlarges it. And so the sixth commandment for us today. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Thou shalt not covet.
Today's reading is Matthew 5, 21 through 26. You know our ancestors were told, do not murder, and a murderer must be brought to trial. But I promise you, if you are angry with someone, you will have to stand trial. If you call someone a fool, you will be taken to court. And if you say that someone is worthless, you will be in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are about to place your gift on the altar and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Make peace with that person. Then come back and offer your gift to God. Before you are dragged into court, make friends with the person who has accused you of wrongdoing. If you don't, you will be handed over to the judge and then to the officer who will put you in jail. I promise you will not get out until you have paid the last cent you owe.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, may your word go forth in grace and truth to enliven and renew our hearts and our commitment to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I suppose if we took a survey out on the sidewalks, and we'd say, do you know any of the Ten Commandments? I would suspect that almost everyone would be able to say, well, yes, I think I know one, and it would be the Sixth Commandment. In the King James language, it's, thou shalt not kill. In newer translations, it might sound like this. You shall not murder. About half of the translations use the word murder, and about half use the older King James word kill. And then Jesus picks that commandment up in his teachings that was read from the gospel for us here today. He reminds them of the commandment. And then he says, if you are angry. And so he takes the commandment that is so well known and expands it and enlarges it and makes it so much bigger and wider and internalized, so that it's not just a deed, it is also the heart that is part of the commandment. If you are angry, placing anger and murder in the same breath. When I think of the sixth commandment, I always think about the Crusades, which was in Christian history probably the greatest disaster that ever occurred. The Crusades were, of course, begun in the Middle Ages. They got the idea that they needed to go to the Holy Land, and they needed to liberate the Holy Land from, get this, the infidels. So they called together, not fighters, they wouldn't call them fighters, they called together what they called pilgrims, who would make a holy pilgrimage to Jerusalem and the Holy Land and would liberate the Holy Land and Jerusalem and those holy places from the infidels. So there were 8 crusades. The first one is the only one that would in any sense be called successful. And by successful, here's what happened. The pilgrims went into the Holy Land and they attacked and conquered Jerusalem. They conquered it. And then for the next 3 days, this sounds like Gaza here. You see this on the news every day. For the next 3 days, the pilgrims killed 30,000 people. Women, children, mothers, fathers, old people, young people. And then when no more killing was available to them, when they had done the slaughter, they marched together to the Church of the Resurrection, singing along the way with tears of joy streaming down their cheeks. Crusades were the worst idea that anyone ever had. What was in their thinking? What was in their minds that somehow God wanted this kind of behavior to rescue his kingdom? For they were called together to rescue, to protect. This is what it was: to protect Christ. To protect Christ and his kingdom. This is what they did. Which reminds me, of course, of the story of Jesus in the garden, the night of his arrest. I trust that you know this story. He's gathered with his disciples, and the officials come with their authorities and with their warrants of arrest to arrest Jesus for his crimes. And Peter takes out his sword and cuts off the ear of the slave of the high priest. And Jesus says, "Put it back." Or someone has translated that verse, which I love better. "No more of this." And then he gives that amazing teaching where he says, "Don't you understand that I could call upon my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels? 12 legions of angels with flaming swords? A legion is 6,000 troops. 6 times 12 is 72. 72,000 angels were at his command, and he says, don't you understand that I could call from heaven a mighty force? Put your sword back in the sheath. Folks, God doesn't need our protection. God doesn't need Christian people in places of ecclesiastical or military or political power to make us safe, to do God's will. God can take care of his own. This white Christian nationalism that you hear about is a heresy among us. God does not call us, ever call us into that. There are 12 legions of angels who can do that work. In her monumental book on Christians and the Church and violence, the British theologian Karen Armstrong takes an overview, beginning with the Crusades and all through history, telling the story of violence and bloodshed as we have seen it in the Crusades and other places. And she uses an interesting word, which I like. She says, it's a psychosis of failing to see relationships. Psychosis means a sickness. It's a sickness. Whenever we fail to see that we are related, connected, part of each other as we are all a part of God. In order to have a crusade, you have to diminish. You have to make less than yourself. You have to be so absorbed in self-righteousness, psychosis, sickness, that you fail to see that we are connected together and that we are all part of one creation, not of our making, but of God's. It starts and it always ends in dehumanization of the other person. They are not like us. They are not as good as us. And that leads down the trail of exclusion and extinction and murder, because they are not as good. They do not deserve to exist. The Irish writer Colm McCann has a novel which is really based on a real story about two fathers in the Holy Land. One lives in Jericho and one lives in Jerusalem. One is a Jew and one is Palestinian Muslim. They were born into a world in which they were taught to hate the other. They each had wife and children, and they each experienced an identical disaster. Both of them lost a daughter through the hatred. The Palestinian child was 10 years old. She had gone into a candy store. It was recess. They let the kids go across the street to the stores and buy something during recess. She went into a candy store. She bought some candy. She walked out of the store, and a Jeep came around the corner, and a young Israeli soldier shot a rubber bullet into the back of her skull. The Jewish girl was just simply in Jerusalem, the crowded street, three terrorists, three men dressed as women, coming from different directions into the city, each strapped with suicide bombs around his chest, and all of the bombs went off at the same time, and the Israeli girl, 14 years old. Both of these fathers were undone in their grief, of course. What do you do now? Well, in the world, it's obvious what we do. We go from one revenge to the other. It's one cycle of revenge against the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And the revenge builds into more suffering, and the suffering builds into revenge. And world history is simply a continuation of the cycle of revenge and hatred and anger. They could have taken that route, but they didn't. Somehow they found this group of people. They were Christians, they were Muslims, and they were Jewish, and they were all parents who had lost a child. They met these two fathers, each other. They became close friends. They began talking. People from Sweden and other places around the world would come to the Holy Land, and they would listen to the stories. One would get up and tell his story, and the other would get up and tell his story. And these people went back home and they said, "You've got to hear this. You've got to hear the story of these fathers." And so they began to get invitations to go all over the world, both of them together, both of them standing and pleading and telling the story and sharing the pain of their loss and asking for the world, for us, for all of us, to find this different way. This is not easy work. This is hard work. You can't do this unless you do it on your knees. You have to let die this sense of self-righteousness that makes us different, that makes us better than somebody else. You have to die to revenge and to accept the fact that there is no better way and no other way than to discover these ties of interrelationship, this common humanity that we all share together. We have to discover that God doesn't have enemies. and in that amazing grace that is ours in Christ? Neither do we. And when we do that, we keep the sixth commandment to the glory of God. Let us pray. Oh God, make us instruments of your peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.